The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to this latest edition of the TWBC podcast. My name is Tony Lightfoot, and gratified to have your continuing support once again as we roll ourselves very, very close to the upcoming season. Now, a skier who last season wasn't able to complete it as such, because he injured himself within about one or two tournaments from the end this past September, is the skier that we'll get to speak to right here and right now. So, yes, it is the man from Bumpus in Virginia, Mr. Peace, Love, and Water Skiing himself, Mr. Corey Vaughn. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, Tony. Yeah, I'm doing great. Pleasure to be on here with you. It's nice to get to talk skiing. I've been on some hiatus.
Yeah, I mean, you must have gotten a little bit of cabin fever, you know. I mean, because ankles, you know, are just their own. You know, they can be quite sensitive when it comes to injuries and stuff. And I mean, it's not something that you can kind of rush back into. You gotta make sure that it's fully healed before you head out onto the water.
No, that's right. I mean, on the one hand, I'm very thankful for the timing of this to happen, that it was, you know, it's unfortunate that it was my last set before the Travers Grand Prix, but it's fortunate that the Travers Grand Prix was the last event of the season, and so I got to enjoy the full season up to that point, and, you know, I'm getting to do my rehab now in the off season. Apparently, I broke this thing real good, broke in four places, and had to do quite a little bit of surgical hardware to get it back in order. But you know, I'm in there rehabbing 3 days a week and trying to get it all dialed in. I'm looking out the window right now at acres and acres covered in snow, so it's not a water skiing time here anyway. So this is the time to work on the rehab, and I'll be excited to hopefully hit the water in the spring. May have to start out a little bit easy and ramp up, but it'll be a good feeling just to be on top of the ski again.
I just kind of got that instant vision, you know, looking out the window out towards the lake and all of that, just hoping that just hoping for the first opportunity to get onto the water like the proverbial Labrador, and looking outside waiting for its walk, you know, that type of, please let me get out there, please.
That's me. Yeah, ironically, I guess, you know, a few days ago I was on the lake, but I was standing on it on top of the ice, so not exactly the same. I'll be looking forward to the liquid water and making some spray in hopefully about 2 months from now.
Yeah, it almost sounded like you're into a little bit of ice skating or hockey out there, you know, I mean, standing up on the lake. But no, I'm guessing that you're not prepared to undergo that risk, even if you are fairly competent on skate.
Well, you know what I have done, probably my most risky thing. My 4-year-old son Seth, I took him ice skating twice in the past month, and so I laced up the skates, but of course I was just holding his hand, and we were, you know, very, very slowly making our way around the rink. So that's about as much as I can push it for the time being.
I'm guessing you were very, very close to the barriers in that instance.
Yeah, I mean, luckily I wasn't at too much risk of falling down. I was mainly doing a bunch of scooping back up and putting him back on his feet, but it was fun. We've had a nice winter in that way. It's been a change of plans. You know, no skiing, no real ski trips. Although I did get to go to La Guapa in Mexico right after Thanksgiving, and that was my first time there, and that was a real treat. I love that place, and I'm excited to go back, and next time when I go, I'll actually get to ski, which will be lovely.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice part of the world from what I'm able to gather from the folks that have been there, you know. But I mean, it must have been a little bit of torture there for you being able to coach out in the sunshine. I mean, is a blessing in itself, but then you at the same time, you're just like chomping at the bit. Come on, just give me a chance to get out there and at least make a few turns, even if you're free skiing type deal.
Well, you know, actually, that reminds me. I wrapped up my ankle and I shoved it into a pair of combos. And I did. That's my only ski ride since my injury. Is I got up on two skis. The villa is on a big lake, and I did take kind of a nice little cruisy, you know, combo ski run, which was just good for the soul. You know, it wasn't much in the way of performance skiing, but it really did make my day and make my week. And as well, the accommodations and the food and the people, everything about that place, you know, it was not exactly a rough time. So yes, I missed out on skiing while everybody else was back there behind the boat, but it's a lovely vacation nonetheless, even as a non-skier. You know, my wife came and she was pregnant. She couldn't ski. Actually, Seth, my son, he did the skiing for the family. He got out there every day and did a little skiing. So, you know, not all was lost. We represented on the water.
Okay. Hit up La Guapa for sponsorship. Okay. Yeah, I'm only kidding though. But I mean, it sounds like that you've had a fairly productive off season, even if you weren't on the water for the majority of it. But you did kind of say in that last response, being involved in the soul of what you were doing out there, and that plays a lot into your branding, you know, with Peace, Love, and Water Skiing, and your ski school that's based in Virginia. So, for the benefit of those people that are listening to you for the first time and want to try and get a little bit of a sense of what you do over there in that ski school in a rather northerly part of the United States, kind of fill them in a little bit.
Yeah, well, the ski school started in 2010, and it was a pretty small operation at that time, but very fortunately, we've grown considerably in the 16 years since then. And, you know, we were really, truly an all ages, all levels ski school. I'd say we teach about 50 to 60 people how to just, you know, get up on skis for the first time every year. You know, we do a dozen or two, you know, people going from two skis to a slalom ski per year. And then, of course, you know, tournament skiers, folks that are trying to train for the regionals and nationals. We put on some, you know, some special junior camps for like the kids who are competing. It's a way to get them tuned up for tournaments, but it also is just a good way of getting them together and helping foster those friendships, which I remember from being a kid. But, you know, we've got a little pro shop here. We've got lodging right here at the lake, so you can come and stay. It's a really beautiful place. We're just out here in the Virginia countryside. And, you know, the big thing that I try to maintain myself and also convey to my staff that we try to keep as the vibe around here is just a very encouraging, positive atmosphere. Skiing is hard. You know, if you're just starting out, it's extremely hard. If you've been into this for a long time, you know making those gains is plenty difficult. And so, you know, we're just here to give you those next set of tools to take you to the next level. So, yeah, anybody, we've had folks come from as far away as Australia. We've had Europeans and Canadians. So, you know, no place is too far. We'll show you a good time here.
Sounds good. Sounds absolutely heavenly at Peace, Love, and Water Skiing. That's the website, isn't it? PeaceLoveAndWaterSkiing.com, isn't it?
That's right. That's it. And yeah, someday we'll get you and the whole TWBC crew up here, Tony. I've got plans. They're still maybe a bit in the future, but you know, I feel like we're going to have to get an event together up here sometime.
Maybe. But in the meantime, we need to make sure we get you fixed, first of all, so that you can get out there and ski and be competitive again, which at the same time as running a ski school is kind of complicated a little bit, because, I mean, although you would have the best intentions of being able to travel around a little bit to follow some of the tournaments that the regulars go to, in one or two cases, it's not generally possible. As a matter of fact, the last international tournament that I vividly remember you skiing in was the one in Morocco on the Bouregueg River in Rabat. And even though you didn't win the event last year, you can proudly come away from that venue with the course record.
Yeah, that's right. That's cool. That's a first for me. I don't hold the course record anywhere else. So that was kind of a new, neat little, career milestone, if you will. And I mean, that was just a very special trip. Obviously, you were there. I don't have to tell you, but we were given really lovely accommodations. We were treated, really like professional athletes, which was nice and special for us. And then it was a little more Moomba type competition out there with the conditions, which I like. I think that's, not every competition should be that way, but some should. I think that's really exciting. And, also got to go to a new place and do some tourism. That's definitely a great memory from, this past season and one that I'll carry forward.
What are some of the other international venues that you've been to in recent years? I think you've been to Moomba maybe once or twice, or maybe I'm trying to think a little bit too much in that realm. But I mean,
yeah, I've been to Moomba a handful of times.
Oh, okay,
and, a couple of years they did also some they had the La Trobe event a couple of times. They had Stony Park had an event a couple of times. So I've gotten a little bit of experience in Australia for sure. This year I was also in Monaco for that event, which is a great one. I love skiing that lake. Outside of Florida, that's like the most Florida skiing lake I've ever been to. It's just a lovely spot in Roquebrune. In Europe, I've made it to most of the spots by now, between San Gervasio and Lacano. Obviously, this past year, the World Championships in Richetto.
Yes.
Been over to England, to Thorpe and Wiremill, and also Oxford, of course. And up to Canada, Calgary, Predator Bay, and Edmonton at Shalom Park. So, I've been and down to South America too. To Chile and to Mexico. So I'm very grateful that water skiing has taken me all around the world, and I hope to continue a bit of that. I think going forward, as you mentioned, ski school is one factor that keeps me a little bit tethered to home. And then, I've got a growing family. I'm actually at the moment, my wife is getting ready to pop. We are going to have a baby any day. If I have to jump off of this podcast at a moment's notice, it's because we need to rush to the hospital like now. So we have bags packed and we are ready to go. So we're going to become a family of four very soon. And, future international trips for ski tournaments are probably going to be, sort of family trips where skiing is the excuse to pack up and go somewhere. But you mentioned over in Morocco this year, Vanessa Veek and Noah and their family all went and made a cool family trip of it.
Yeah.
I was watching them have a good time. And so I said, okay. I know Cale Burdick brings his family over to Moomba sometimes, so I know it's possible to do. And we'll just, the road ahead, we'll kind of have to figure out. And I don't even pretend to know what it's going to be like to have two children running around, or, one crawling around, or one carrying around and one running around. So, that's all a little bit play by ear at this point.
So how old is Seth now? I mean, he's what is he like?
He's four. I just dropped him off at pre-K this morning. So he's got school going on, and he's taking Taekwondo, which is really neat. Of course, he loves skiing, and more or less any sort of sports thing. He's a very physical guy. But I think he's at a great age. He's very excited about becoming a big brother. He wanted it to be a little sister the whole time. So he got his wish. It's going to be a little girl that's coming.
Nice.
And her name will be Zadie. And
Zadie.
Yeah, at the moment, I'm Zadie, Z-A-I-D-E-E. We've been trying to get all of our boxes checked so that
okay.
We have have some time ready to just spend with the baby when she comes, and we're pretty much there. We got our feet on the ground.
I have to absolutely ask you, but the name, what was the inspiration behind that? You know, because it sounds like the nearest person that I know of with a name that even remotely sounds like that is Sadie Ferguson from Australia. But I mean, we go all the way to the alphabet for this one.
Yeah, I know. She's going to have initials all at the end of the alphabet. Zadie Weaver Vaughn, ZWV. But the name actually,
that sounds like an oil. That sounds like an oil exploration company, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's a good question about where does it come from. It's actually my wife, Amelia. It's her great-great-grandmother's name. So it's a family name that we're bringing back into a new generation.
Wow, there you go. There you go. A little bit of a trendsetter there, you.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, we wanted a name that was a little bit unique, but not, way out there. And just kind of cool that it's a family name from quite a while ago, that it sounds kind of fresh in another way. So, yeah, we like it.
All right, then. So that's going to be occurring any day. I mean, this episode has actually been recorded on February the 5th. Actually, yesterday, February the 4th, was my birthday. Thanks a lot to those folks out there that took some time.
Oh, happy birthday.
Oh, why, thank you.
I didn't know.
Yep. Anyone that was that was huddling around their Facebook or anything would have known that my birthday was coming up. But I do appreciate that, certainly. You know, it's for me personally, it's, you know, when you get into your 50s, I mean, I'm going to sound like an old fuddy-duddy here, but when you get into that old, into that age, you know, we're celebrating birthdays, at least from my perspective, becomes less and less important, you know, and especially as my birthday is outside of the typical skiing season, so I don't really get to hang around too much with what I would what I would regard to be, you know, my closest associates, which is basically anyone who skis on the World Ski Pro Tour and those that that help and support the sport of tournament water skiing. So there's that to kind of factor in.
Yeah, well, you know, Tony, we'll just have to pick up the celebration somewhere over the summer, I guess, in the future. I'm likely to remember your birthday because it seems like it's going to be in very close proximity to my daughter's. So, you know, mm-hmm. I'll be reaching out next time. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. I certainly appreciate that. So you got a new member of the family coming along within about the next few days, might even be the next few hours. And by the time that this podcast gets broadcast, I actually I spoke to Corey before the podcast happened, you know, and obviously want to try and get a sense for the timing and what have you, and it is for that reason that I'm going to shift Corey's podcast right up to the very top. It'll be broadcasting on Friday, and those of you that are looking forward to listening to Matteo Lazzari, you're just going to have to wait about a week longer, but I'm sure that there's not going to be any hard feelings so far as he's concerned in respect to that, I would imagine.
Got a lot of love for Matteo. He's a brother, so I don't think he's going to hate me too much. I hope he's probably over in Thailand, right, having a good old time.
Actually, I think he's on his way back from Thailand, maybe getting set up for the Winter Olympic Games. You know, I mean, that's happening over in his part of the world, you know. But I mean, speaking about sports a little bit in the off season, when you're actually fully fit, you're actually out there on the slopes, not on like the major slopes in Utah or in Colorado or in the Appalachian Mountains or even further afield. But I mean, you do have a set of skis and you do rip it out there on the slopes on occasion.
Yeah, I've got skis and a snowboard. I like both. I like to kind of switch it up. In recent times, I have spent most of my winter vacation time going somewhere warm to try to train water skiing because I've been so obsessed with it. But I do look forward to, you know, some trips out west. I've been fortunate to, you know, meet a bunch of water skiers who, you know, do live out in Utah or Montana or up in Canada or what have you. And I've gotten invitations to go, and I have been out west. I love skiing out there. It just hasn't really fit into the timeline recently. But yeah, we've got some slopes around here, and we are right near the Appalachian Mountain Range. So, you know, we can get there for day trips or kind of weekend trips. And that's something in the future that I'm excited for. Like as my family grows too, that's another, like water skiing is a great family sport. A little snow ski holiday with the family is a wonderful thing. I got to do that as a kid, and I look forward to being able to do that with my kids.
All right, then, as we continue to rock along, tell us about your ski, because within about the last season or so, the CV version of the KD Element has come to the surface and is available in most good pro shops and that kind of stuff. I mean, and also online. But I mean, I do recall in one of the last conversations that we had on the TWBC podcast that you'd actually worked a little bit with Terry Winter on the ski. I mean, is that still very much the case, or is the initial design still the one that the folks can still get their hands on?
Yeah, well, so I think to clarify is, It's not so much that Terry and I have been in communication and collaborating, although, you know, he certainly has a wealth of knowledge on this subject, and I benefit any time that I talk to him. What I really wanted to point out when we talked before was that the original concept for the KD Platinum that goes back to kind of when it launched in 2017-18, somewhere around there, that was, you know, really Terry Winter's creation along with Wayne Bryant. That was kind of his brainchild. And so the ski that we have now is an evolution of that ski from Terry. So I want to give credit where credit is due, because I don't know that I have it in my mind to to come up with what a ski should be from the ground up. So I'm standing on the shoulder of giants, or in this case, Terry's kind of short, but he's a giant, and he's a giant in intellect, is what I mean. And
indeed.
And so, you know, yeah, we've made some revisions. There are some changes to the ski, which I think have, has improved it. Little refinements that, you know, I like, and I found the people who have kind of transitioned from the prior generation to the newer generation, the feedback's pretty consistent that everyone likes that step forward. But yeah, it's a heck of a ski. It's been, you know, kind of created a bit of a turning point for me in my career, just switching onto it. And the last 3 years, which are the three that I've been on a KD, have, you know, given me the best skiing of my entire life. So, you know, that kind of stands for itself, and I'm always happy, yeah, when people reach out and they want to demo a ski or come here and try one or just straight up, you know, buy one because they believe in it, then we can certainly make that happen.
It's hard to fathom that you've been on that ski brand for over three seasons now. I mean, it almost sounded like yesterday that we're having a conversation about the ski that you're on, and now 2-3 years later, you're still running on it, and must be a testament to the brand that you've been able to find something positive out of that ski with a little bit of tuning here and there. I mean, is it the ski that requires an awful lot of tweaking, you know, to make it work in your experience?
No, and thank goodness, because I think if that were the case, it probably would not have ended up being the ski for me. I'm just not. That's not the part of skiing that I enjoy the most. In fact, I may have shared this before, but, you know, when I did first get the original design, I reached out to Terry Winter and asked him what should I do to set it up? And he gave me a set of numbers to try. And I put those on. I skied on it. I loved it. I did not change the fin for the entire season. I didn't even go looking for different settings. I put the boot right where he said. I didn't make a single change to the ski the whole year. And it's kind of, I set that the ski up that way for most other people. It seemed to have a very broad and universal application. And I'm very thankful for that because I do not like going around the wheel of moving the boot, moving the fin. And just to me, it feels like chasing it, you know, maybe to a fault. I don't try things. Maybe sometimes there's a better recipe out there. But most of the time, I just like trying to work on my technique and what I'm doing back there. And I just want to have the ski ready to perform. And this one has been great for that. Very easy to adapt to.
So the only set of calipers that you have are gathering dust right now?
Mostly. Right now, they certainly are. Yeah.
For the time being, at least, and we certainly look forward to you getting back out on the water, which we believe is going to be in April sometime, if all things are working good in that general direction.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I don't plan on doing anything foolish. I'll have to see, you know, what my physical therapist is saying, how things are feeling. But I think the reasonable target that I've had in my mind the whole time is to start on April 1st. That's the day that we open ski school. And so other folks will be coming out to get their first sets. And I thought, you know, what a great time to, even if my first set is really just kind of doing a deep water start, cruising around the lake, doing a couple of lightweight crossings just to feel it out. You know, that will be at least something that's better than what I've gotten to do. Hopefully it can be a little bit than that. Maybe I can run some openers. That would be nice. We'll just see. I guess another thing that I'm excited about is that John Travers has said that he's sending me one of his edge bindings. Mm-hmm. So just to protect that ankle, I have not been in a releasable system for a number of years now.
Yeah, because you normally ski with a rubber boot, don't you?
That's right. And I was purposely running it extremely tight. I knew I was running a risk there, but I just had never faced the consequences before. But I found out that in one brief moment, you know, it can change the next 6 months of your life pretty dramatically. So given the family situation, the business, I really can't afford like another hospital surgery, you know, 6 months of rehab. I really just want to not re-injure that ankle. So I'm going to go to the releasable. I'm excited to make a go of it with the edge binding. Yeah. And as soon as it arrives in the mail, I'll be heat molding that thing and sticking it my foot in it and getting a feel, even just on dry land.
I'm trying to figure out what's going to create the bigger thud, the package that comes for the edge binding, or the medical bill from Blue Cross, you know, when it goes through the letterbox.
Oh man, I've just been trying not to think about the medical bills. I'm very lucky. We get insurance through my wife's work and it's very good. So it's a matter of co-pays and, they are adding up for sure, but what's the alternative? You know, I want to rehab this thing to the fullest, so we're doing it.
So as you get ready for the season, or at least get ready to ski, because I mean, it means some things are still up in the air. Have you kind of set some targets, some prospective targets for the season, or are you just gonna kind of wing it and see how it all pales out?
Well, as compared to the last few years, this one is definitely less scripted in my mind. Like, it's not a world's year. Clearly, I won't be going to Moomba or the Swiss Pro or the Masters qualifiers. Like, for me, basically, I'll just be starting the season and trying to get, you know, comfortable skiing again. So the early part of the season's kind of out for me. Also, going over to Europe is sort of out of the question for me this year with a new baby in the household. So, you know, that kind of puts us to August, and, you know, then there'll be the Nationals. There's a stop up in Calgary and the California Pro-Am as part of the Nautique Tour. And then, you know, we'll have hopefully, you know, the Mastercraft Pro, the Travers Grand Prix. And so at a minimum, I've decided that I would like to do the Mastercraft Pro and the Travers Grand Prix, because those are the two back-to-back events where my season came to an end last year, is right in between those two.
And Lake 38 is going to be towards the end of the season as well, before the...
Oh, this is news to me. Tell me about this. That might be a good one.
Okay, let me pull up the super secret squirrel calendar that I have up on my cell phone. So Lake 38 is projected to be on September the 11th through to Sunday the 13th. So that is 2 weekends before the Travis Grand Prix.
Okay, that's cool. That's good to know. I've been missing going to that tournament the last few years. It's been in the early June time frame, which is close to when we run an event here called Buoy Fest. So it's been hard for me to make that. And it also is kind of coming right off the back of Swiss and some of those things. So that's great. I'd love to make it down to Lake 38. So I appreciate the super secret information there. I'm sure some other people are probably finding out for the first time too, or it could just be me. But that's good news. Okay. Maybe Lake 38 will get in the mix. That'd be wonderful.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. And I certainly look forward to seeing you back out in the water again. It'll been a while, relatively speaking, compared to a lot of other seasons. But for the time being, I certainly wish you the best of fortune, and indeed the rest of your family the best of fortune with the impending event coming up within the next few days, even the next few hours. Who knows at this point? But this is the TWBC podcast episode with Corey Vaughan. Anything you'd like to say in closing, acknowledgements, thanks, that kind of stuff?
Oh, I was just going to say, thank you to you for that last bit, and I certainly will miss, I'll miss competing, I'll miss being on the scene, I'll miss being in the broadcast booth with you and getting yelled at by Vince, and there's a whole lot that I'll miss along the way there, but I'll be very excited to take part in a few of them, is probably later in the season, and I'll miss a bunch of my fellow skiers as well. But I don't know what else there is to say. Like I said, the main priority right now is this baby that's coming along, and we feel ready, and that's what I'm doing from here, is just getting my feet set on the ground and ready for the big announcement.
Indeed, indeed, and we certainly appreciate you taking some time out. I know it's certainly a monumentous occasion to have happen, and I certainly appreciate you taking the time to talk with me here on the TWBC podcast on this episode. That has been the interview with Corey Vaughan. So until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.